This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been asking for y'all's shout-outs all day long. Here's one from the 903. Kevin, I want to give a shout-out to Zach Wolchuk because he is absolutely great at sharing thoughts during the Rangers game, and also remembered his late wife, Belinda, who loved baseball. Well, that's a damn fine job that you've done right there, Zach. Very well done. And from the 903, just want to give a shout-out to my wife. She just started teaching in a new district at Farmersville ISD, teaching special needs pre-K. She is a rock star.
I would like to make a comment on Zach Wolchuk, if I can talk. Pretty fun to hang out with, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like at parties and stuff. That dude likes to party. Okay. He's easy to party with, if you will.
Yeah.
And he's pretty interesting to watch on dates.
Like,
you get a chance to watch Zach Wolchuk on a date, do it. All right. Okay. If you see Zach Wolchuk out at any point during here in DFW,
don't
and you're
make
like
it evident, right?
Like maybe he's at Knife, or okay, maybe he's at Mexican Bar Company. You know, one of those two places. Sure. I don't know where.
Sure.
And then you're like, oh, there's Zach Wolchuk. Just observe him in his natural habitat doing that thing.
It's time to observe Corey in his natural habitat of the C block.
And see also if Bobby's around during that moment.
He will be.
Can I have a shout out too?
While
we're in the C block here. Shout out to the wife and Lucy. They're rocking up there to Cleveland one more time. They'll be going every 2 months, it looks like, for the next 2 years. For this trial study.
Wow.
So we got it. This is a 2-year trial
excited
study.
Excited about this?
I don't love them having to fly up to Cleveland every couple months, but yes, if everything goes well, the medicine that she was on during the last trial trial thing, it worked. It looked like it was working very well. So if it works over this 2-year period, this would be a very impactful 2 years for Lucy, because this is that window where with ESES, that's the type of epilepsy she has. This is that window where she could lose a lot of motor skills, lose a lot of things that she's already learned. So there's a lot of things that could go wrong here. So this is a positive time. So hopefully everything goes very well there. All right.
That's a great shout out.
Now let's get into some more C block with the Dallas Cowboys. My question to you guys is, at what point in the season does Micah Parsons become just a defensive edge, a defensive end, and no longer a linebacker?
I don't think it happens this year. I think he still does the
hybrid.
I don't know if it's 50-50, 60-40, but I think he does it all this year again.
He is becoming so good. And this is just in practice against Terrence Steele, but we kept questioning, Mike, is Terrence Steele just bad, or does that mean Micah Parsons is that good? Then he goes to Denver, and he does exactly what he's been doing this entire time. And maybe he just is always at full speed and NFL speed, but he is just so – Mickey said it this morning, nobody can stop him. At that point, you do have to consider, I have Anthony Barr. I have these other options at linebacker. Man, if nobody can stop this guy, I might as well keep running him out there to go do this thing. That's so, Kevin. Mike says it's not going to happen this year. How far?
I wonder. I think Mike is, that's probably true. But part of me wonders, we get through, let's say, 8 games. Jabril Cox, he can play, and he's healthy. Leighton Vander Esch, he can play, and he's healthy. Same with Anthony Barr. I wonder at that point if you're like, you know what? We don't even use 3 full-time linebackers, but we feel like we have 3 linebackers that we can, you know, switch in and out. And let's turn them loose. Like, you heard Mickey earlier when he was talking about the joint practice. He was like, the guy is unblockable. And so that is just like a marquee talent that I think about. You know, we were talking about if the Bears are going to move on from Roquan Smith just because of their skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith's a damn good player. He went out on the open market. Let's say there was no salary cap or anything like that, and then Micah Parsons went out on the open market. Like, I feel like most everyone would pick Micah Parsons because of that additional pass rush skill.
Okay, all right. This usually we stick to Cowboys here.
Oh.
But, Kevin, I didn't see this story so far in any of the topics we've discussed. Have you heard about what happened with DJ Moore?
No.
I saw that he went into the stands to try to help fans out that weren't happy with each
other.
There was
a fan fest with Carolina. Whoa. And DJ Moore went up into it as a fight was getting ready to break out. DJ Moore steps up into it and says, "We're at a family function," and gets everybody to chill out and stop fighting. I think I might be drafting DJ Moore just because on character alone.
Wow.
This year. So it was a good job on DJ Moore to go out there and stop a fan fight in the stands before it could even start.
And you're Baker Mayfield throwing him. Well, Sam Darnold.
Mind. I changed my mind.
Do you think he just made really reasoned points, or do you think they were like, holy crap,
it's DJ Moore.
probably stop.
I think more than anything, they just saw that it was one of their favorite football players, and they were like, can we get an autograph?
That's what I think, too, because I feel like logic doesn't always rule the day in a fight. Like, I feel like a lot of individuals, or at least I'll speak for myself, you get to a point where, like, you're just angry and you don't have that release valve for the anger. And, like, logic and reason is not what's going to save the day.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Punching something.
Punching things always.
I'm wondering, what's the penalty if you fight at a game? Are they is kind of like crowding of stuff too much, and they're just like, you just get out of here, you're kicked out of the game, or do they really arrest you? Because
I would presume somebody can press charges.
Like, think about how much money he might have saved those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I would
court from fines, from community service, from what, you know. I mean, DJ Moore just helped those guys out a whole bunch.
Yeah, that should be tacked into his contract.
Or maybe nowadays it's just like, yeah, you guys get out of here.
Yeah.
Visually, I'm honestly not sure.
I don't have a clue on that. All right, other question here in the C block. The Cowboys got beat up and bullied by Denver in practice number one. Are you guys concerned about them being more talk about being bullies and that mindset than they are actually being about that this year? Because I have some.
You're worried about that practice.
Just the simple idea that, hey, we're all veterans and we don't have to worry about that stuff yet. You know, let's wait till the season and then we'll ramp up and all that. I'm concerned that this isn't a mentally, physically tough enough football team right now. And I don't know. I think Micah's in for it. I don't know who else is. I'm very concerned about this group right now. Is it too early? Am I overreacting early?
I don't think you're overreacting because it did happen in the playoffs, but I feel like it's seven guys. It's only seven guys. It's your five offensive linemen and it's your defensive tackles. I know there's more backup defensive tackles, but I feel like you're fine with DeMarcus Lawrence. You're fine with Micah Parsons. I just feel like the bullying happens in the middle and with your offensive linemen. So I think there's seven/ players that have that on them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe you're right there, because Zeke does need the people in front of him to block and be bullies, right? Like, that's what Zeke needs, is somebody up there pushing him around so he can make the right cuts. Because if they're in the backfield before Zeke could even make his read, that's a problem. Like, Zeke running behind a line and he looks up and he goes, hold on, this is a tackle for loss already? That's a problem if it's going to happen consistently. So I think that, like, I'm just not sure how I feel about Tyler Biotic. At the moment, or Baidez, or Badass, whatever we want to call him.
I don't know if we can call him Badass again yet.
I know how I feel about Zach Martin, but Tyler Smith is, I think, going to be very good, but the middle of the offensive line was getting powered through during practices and didn't stop whenever they went to Denver. And then whenever Denver said, hey, we're going to knock Zeke to the ground, everybody was like, why would you do that, man? Instead of firing back and saying, you know what, we're just going to go beat you up in practice today and make this a miserable practice for you.
I'd be saying his last name is below Av.
Oh, man. That is obviously very clever. Mm-hmm. I understand your question. I'm going to say it's too early, but... you know, that's why I asked Mickey that question, is because, like, I had a couple of people asking me, it was like, oh, everyone's saying Denver won the practice. And I was like, I mean, I didn't know that was a thing, but okay.
Right. It's something about, you even said it a minute ago, Kevin, when you're playing Pictionary with your wife and her friends.
I want to win.
And you're not getting paid for that.
No, I get you.
But there's something about having this innate desire to win, and no matter what it is. And today, We're showing up and we're no matter when. Jason Garrett always had that mentality, but the Tom Landry teams had, like, lived it. They really did. Jimmy Johnson's teams, they did live it. Look, today is not going to be your day. Sorry about your bad luck.
Yeah.
And that's how I want this team to be, man. That's exactly what I want out of this team. All right, Cowboys are great this year if.
If you get anywhere near a replication of the turnovers and turnover scores. Like, and I mean great, is I'm 80% even. 80%.
Even from the offensive side too, like the turnover, you're negative. You were positive in the turnover ratio last year.
Part of the reason because the defense was just destroying folks. And so if you can get 80 to 85% of that same defensive turnover ratio and that same defensive and special team scoring ratio, I do think you have the chance to be special. Now, I know that's a big if, and people will say, like, you can't really, kind of like we talk about relief pitching sometimes in baseball, it's hard to replicate that same amount of success. I'm not saying Trayvon Diggs specifically has to have 11 interceptions, but if you get a combination of Anthony Brown coming up in the world, like we've talked about, like Broadus has talked a lot about on G-Bag Nation, if you get a combination of those things and a combination of those non-offensive touchdowns, I think you can put something together.
All right. Mike, do you have one?
Yeah, if all the other really great teams are hurt come playoff time.
Golly. All right. Okay, you know what? I balance this out. Mike, you get this first question. The Cowboys are terrible if?
They can't block.
Okay. That was a legitimate good answer right there. I thought you'd say something else, but the Cowboys are terrible if, Kevin.
They continue to struggle with penalties and the people we have health concerns about become health concerns.
Tyron.
Yeah. Tyron, Anthony Barr, Leighton Vander Esch. Like, these are all people who very recently or fairly recently have had health issues. And then all of a sudden, think about what you asked at the beginning about Micah Parsons. Okay, well, now this is your new scenario. Well, Anthony Barr is hurt again. Leighton Vander Esch is unfortunately hurt. Well, now I feel like I almost have no choice but to keep. And Jabril Cox has never stayed healthy on the professional football field. Well, now I essentially have no choice but to keep Micah Parsons. Even in the leanest of linebacker packages, I have almost no choice but to keep Micah Parsons out on the field. So I think penalties and predictable injuries. Not because I don't mean injuries like, oh, yeah, people have injuries in football. Like, I get that. But I mean predictable injuries for the Cowboys.
I'm going to take a veer off the path a little bit here. I've often said that my favorite Ian Kinsler moment is against the Angels at their stadium. He catches a pop-up in foul territory. Looks down, a couple of fans look up at him, and they're like, hey, they're Angels fans, can I get the ball from you? And he looks at them and shakes his head no and runs back to the dugout. And I just thought that was like, man, that dude's competitive as heck. And I love, like, he wouldn't even give an Angels fan a baseball.
Didn't he, like, get in a fight with John Lackey during batting practice against the Angels?
So tomorrow Rangers.
That's the level of competitiveness you wanted yesterday.
Yes. And so tomorrow, the Rangers are going to be honoring Ian Kinsler and John Blake, by the way, not throwing them in the Hall of Fame. That sounds like they're going to the Slammer.
Right.
But they're putting them in the Hall of Fame, in the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. Do you have a moment, an Ian Kinsler moment, that stands out for you? Because that's one of them for me, but I have one other one too.
Okay, this might be wrong and such not the one to pick.
I think because this one comes to mind. I'm not going to say it, but okay. I think the same one comes to mind in my head.
I oddly respected it when he went scorched earth on the way out the door. This is not an on-field moment, but like people are like, oh, you shouldn't burn bridges. He was like, F that. I'm burning this piece of S to the ground. Mm-hmm. And I remember that.
I can remember his cycle. I believe it was on Jackie Robinson Day, if I have the day right, but I can just remember, I didn't think of that one. I can just think of his reaction when he popped the ball up. It was such a discouraged, like, throw the bat down. Like,
I almost wanted him to start doing Willie Mays Hayes push-ups right then.
I know that's not the positive thing. Ian was an awesome player and deserves this, and it's awesome. But sometimes I can just remember his reaction when he popped up the ball.
Well, and that did become kind of a thing around here was we would call him Mr. Pop-Up. You know, it became a, man, why does he – it's part of his swing. It's the way he would, but he did pop up what seemed like an absorbent amount of times. The other moment, though, I do remember, I think it was game 3. No, maybe it was game 2. the Rangers, they ended up winning like a 2-1 game in the World Series against St. Louis, and it was a stolen base late in the game that he got that helped them kind of get to that point. He and Elvis Andrus on the base paths were what I loved watching those guys run. And Wash was like, let's be aggressive on the base paths. I loved that, man. So
he was a good player. I know, like, I get it. Like we were talking about, it gets lost to the pop-up sadness. He was Mr. Warning Track for some people, or him just burning it to the ground on the way out. But he was a good player.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I remember also he got really mad because in 2009, nobody was going to the games because they hadn't established themselves as a winner. And he was mad and publicly said how mad he was at the Ranger fans for not going to the games in September when they had a chance to make the playoffs. They ended up not making the playoffs. I think they won 87 games that year. And then the next year they went to the World Series. But I remember him going, screw this town. Like, show up to the games. We got a chance to make the playoffs.